And now, here's your host of Lab Radio, sponsored by Coinstructive.
Hello, so this is Aaron. I'm here at Inside Bitcoin San Diego. We're having a great time, and I'm here with Cherie Ip, and she is from Certus Consulting. She has a JD. She works in the digital sort of currency and asset space and works on some pretty interesting things. And she also has an organization called, how do you say that?
You Prove. It's one of our products. The company is called Ledger Assets.
Ledger Assets. Okay. Yeah. So, let's have you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this space. And you've got some cool stuff going on. So, yeah, I'd love to hear about
sure,
it.
Sure. No worries. So, what I'm doing with myself at the moment, I'm part academia, part consulting. So, in academia, I'm just teaching at Curtin University, Curtin Law School, in a lot of areas, not Bitcoin or blockchain just yet, hopefully
nice.
One day.
Soon.
Soon. And I'm also researching in digital currencies, in policy reforms, things like that, in regards to Bitcoin and blockchain technologies, because that's all really happening, about to change soon. For consulting, I do consulting for construction, mining companies, logistics, mainly just in compliance areas, and now also Bitcoin and blockchain companies as well. And speaking about that, also joined Ledger Assets, which is an Australian blockchain company, and they're the ones with YouProve, which we'll talk shortly more about that.
Very cool. So what is your definition of Bitcoin?
For me, I strongly see it as a currency, even though Australian governments say otherwise and a tax man says otherwise, it's definitely a currency.
Okay.
A form of money.
And then what is the blockchain?
Blockchain for me is just a technology that powers Bitcoin, as one of the currencies or money, whatever you want to call it. And it's just a technology, pretty much just a public ledger that's there that can automate so many things, and it's just waiting for really cool applications to be formed.
Absolutely. How did you, so now did you start doing all this in Australia or
yeah,
were you
I did.
Anywhere else? Okay.
Mainly just in Australia, but I've been flying around a lot and I go to quite a few of the conferences.
Neat.
Yeah, so there's not that much happening in Australia anymore due to like the restrictive law. So we've got goods and services tax at 10% and it's treated as a property. And then on top of that, we also have goods and services tax as well. So if you hold the property, which is Bitcoin, and it goes up in price, mm-hmm. you're going to get double tax, which is why for that reason, not many businesses can exist very well or very long in Australia.
Mm. How did you first encounter Bitcoin and sort of the digital assets as a concept?
Yep. So for me, Bitcoin first started when the Silk Road case started coming to light. So that was 2013 October for me.
Okay.
So I came across that and it just blew me away. I was like, wait, how is there this currency that exists that people created? And then you've got, the US government, they've seized this, currency that doesn't exist anywhere but on the internet, but they can't spend it. And to me, that was just fascinating. I was like, this is amazing. Like, it's never been done before. And then what I looked at after that was like, well, what are the laws going to be like this? How is the US government seizing something they don't even know what it is, or they can't even characterize into any of their laws? So that's what sparked my initial interest.
Got it. That's really interesting. Now, how did you end up in sort of the compliance angle? It's very interesting, very rich. It's probably a great field to be in because there's going to be ongoing discussion for quite some time, if not indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell us about like sort of how you chose the compliance angle in particular.
For Bitcoin?
Yeah, and just for this space, because there's blockchain technology that you've used with YouProve. It's just really interesting applications.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So for me, I've always worked in compliance of some sort anyway. So at first I started practicing as a lawyer, commercial litigation. So we're looking at it from a point of view where 9 times out of 10, the client has done something wrong or whatever, and they need help. They need to get out or something. In that scenario, there's only so much you can do. There's not that much wiggle room. However, if we've seen them from the start, the really good clients, where we set them up, proper programs, proper policies and procedures, then when something goes wrong, we can say, well, no worries. It's very easy fix. You're not going to be looking at too hefty fines, damages, whatever, because you've done what's right in the start. So Certus, my business, what we actually do for all our clients is like look at the compliance form, because if you come see us work on compliance, then if anything goes wrong, we can help you out. And that's just the same philosophy for when it comes to Bitcoin and blockchain technologies. Right now, the real big issue is companies doing what they want as is, thinking nothing ever applies to them. But then when they finally spent all this time and effort and money launching their products, all of a sudden they get shut down by the government. And that can be easily avoided if you were to just have some form of compliance or have someone predict or look at the future regulatory landscape which can apply to you. Because for me, I think it's a mindset thing. Because Bitcoin was started as, you know, very liberal, people just want to do what they wanted to. And at that first point in time, they probably could, because there's no government saying what it was. But however, that mindset has still carried on today, even though governments are aware and now regulating, learning about it, and then people still think, no, we can do what we want. But however, if you're like a company and you're going to, let's say, mine some gold or whatever, is the first thing you're going to be doing thinking, okay, I can just do whatever I want. See you guys later.
I'm just digging. Over here. I don't care.
I think your first thing will be, okay, I think that's government property. What do I need to do? What regulations apply to me? But in Bitcoin world, like, we don't have this mindset. Everyone's free for all. Yeah. And when it does happen and when they do get noticed, that's when things go wrong, which is why compliance is a really big issue that I think needs to be solved today.
For sure. So what are some of the challenges you see with specifically compliance? Everyone kind of seems to be, there's a big bottleneck and a big hump to get over with regulatory
situations. For me, I think it looks at the characterization issue. This is not just for the businesses themselves, also the governments. They're having issues right now with characterizing Bitcoin, and Bitcoin is hard enough as it is. But when we're going to get to the blockchain technologies, that's where it's going to get really, really interesting. So they're going to want their definition. The businesses are going to want their own definition. So it's going to be who's going to characterize it right, and how each government's going to react. Some governments might take the narrowest stance possible, which is what Australia's done with Bitcoin. They said, nope, it does not fall under money or currency, which clearly everyone else in the world has a different view.
Right.
So from that point of view, I think it'll be very, very interesting in blockchain companies, which is why I'm looking at blockchain companies now and looking at the laws. And I think what's most important is knowing what area you're in, what industry you're in. So if you're in real estate, obviously I'm looking at, you know, getting a real estate license, whatever it is. And then what local jurisdiction laws apply to you. I think this is the one that people seem to forget. They think that I'm in this industry, I can do what I want, but however, if you're operating in a jurisdiction that's not your home country, you're going to have to look at local laws that apply there as well, and then any other countries that interact with that country that you might be servicing. These are issues that people just don't even look at, so I think this is important to be looked at.
So now you said, so Australia does not, they're not considering people that are doing Bitcoin business like money lenders or not MSBs, they're actually being pretty lenient on like cryptocurrency as a whole in terms of their laws?
Well, we've just got those two laws at the moment, and they haven't really done anything enforcement-wise or shutting people down from that perspective.
Right.
So, because it's been pretty much more of a voluntary thing at this point in time, most of those people have just decided to shut up shop and just go, so it's not... we're not really like how you guys are in the US where they literally come down and shut you down sort of thing.
Right. But it has deterred people from doing business.
It's deterred people.
It's kind of not as friendly of an environment.
It's not friendly. I think we've probably got one of the worst at the moment.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Very, very restrictive.
I think, you know, over time, as other states, countries, et cetera, like prove ideas, I think money will be the...
Money will be the big motivating factor.
Maybe we should do this. Maybe we should let people operate ATMs.
Definitely.
You worked with any people that doing stuff, any business like that, like running ATMs?
Not ATMs. Okay. I'm working with blockchain technologies at the moment.
Got it. Okay, yeah. So companies that have blockchain.
Yes.
Okay. So let's see. What would you say are some opportunities for organizations and businesses with regard to like the blockchain? And obviously, it's really robust. I mean, we should get more into like what Ledger Assets does, and some use cases would be really cool to hear about. But I'm just wondering, like, we talk about the concepts, but now it's like, well, how can that become a reality, or like, what are some practical examples of that, you know?
For Ledger Assets, or do you mean in general?
In general, and you could...
In general, I think, for me, because I'm in law, I can see what happens and what goes wrong, is that sense of security, not knowing that what you've agreed upon is actually going to be followed through. A lot of times just informal chat, and then it becomes serious, and then people back out, and you don't really have that sense of security. So if you can have blockchain technologies that give certainty, which is what the blockchain is all about, it solves a hell of a lot of problems, I can tell you right now. So Ledger Assets, for example, with the app I was showing you, what they actually do is like they're able to record things, the timestamping onto the blockchain. So there's no way you can actually break the timestamping, the geocoding, the date. It's all there. It's all recorded live. So it's a way of proving things, which is what this really fascinates me about blockchain.
Yeah. So I mean, has there been any like significant like legal basis behind some of these? Sort of timestamped like documents or like photos or, you know, because I'm imagining like, could that be considered an alibi? Like if, you know, like you were took a yep. picture of me earlier and you're saying, yep, that proves that I was here.
Yep.
And so what are the implications of that like legally, you know, because if it's like, if there's proof that I'm here and there's many different forms of that proof, like, mm-hmm. you know, will one piece by itself be able to have this powerful precedence or will it take a lot of different
What normally happens now is we have the law and they have some legal presumptions. They're called legal presumptions because it can't actually be proved, so law just makes that assumption and assumes it. So this is why I see blockchain technology being so powerful, is the fact that they can now use an algorithm to power to prove that you can actually demonstrate this presumption now is true. There's evidence, we can bring that out. So it pretty much changes the whole game.
Okay.
There's no more having to rely on, well, the law says it's presumed I'm here or it's presumed I'm mentally sound or whatever it is. Now you've got technology that can actually say, yes, you were here at this time. Yes, you were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So that just gets rid of all the presumptions that don't need to exist anymore.
And do, I mean, could a court order be like, well, I don't know if court order is the right word, but essentially, could their court recognize that document? I mean, I don't know if they have yet, but...
They haven't yet, no. But it's too far advanced for them.
So they would have to essentially recognize the technology itself
yes.
as a...
It would be yeah. very interesting to see that come up as a case. Let's say you saw some guy stealing something, you used an app, for example, our app, and then you got it onto the blockchain,
mm-hmm.
got a hash at that time and date and the film and where it was filmed. Mm-hmm. That would be verifiable proof that... He was there at that time, he burgled that house or whatever
right,
he did.
Right.
And then what would then happen is that if there's a case and he's like, look, I have this video, I have proof, and then now it further backs up that video.
Right.
Evidence.
Yeah, and
it
what's the case now with like video footage? Because that is obviously someone breaks into a store and there's footage of them.
Can use it, but however, what's happening now is the verification of the clarity of it is not good because you know CCTV cameras, they're from afar. And that's actually been quite interesting in Australia. We have these cards. I've been talking to a few of the guys here. You guys don't have what we have. It's like a chip in our card. So it's called PayPass technology.
Mm-hmm.
So you just tap it and then you can use up to $100 and you don't need to sign, nothing. What's been happening in Australia is an increase in rise in credit card frauds or ATM card frauds for the fact that people are taking these cards, using $100 and then running up to the next door using $100 again. So they keep doing that and they've got away a couple $1,000s just by taking someone's card. And they're actually able to track where it was used and look at the footage, but the footage has been useless for the fact that it's just too blurry. They can't identify it, they can see it all happening, they can see someone using the card, but for identification purposes, it is no good.
Mm.
But however, with an iPhone, if you were just to film someone walking past or doing something, it's clear enough. Okay,
yeah.
It's not 100%, but it's clear enough for you to make a verifiable identification. And then on top of that, you've also got the timestamp and the geostamp. There's no way to say that is not them or that is doctored. So
right.
This is what this powerful technology does. Like we're seeing more and more tech being built in this space, and it's just a matter of time where they're going to have to, courts are going to have to accept it. But first, obviously, we'll need to see a case where someone uses an app like this. That'll be really, really cool, and some sort of crime, whatever. And they say, "Look, this is proof. This is verifiable proof, based on an algorithm." So that would be amazing.
Yeah, and I wonder if maybe it could even apply on maybe like a contract level. Like think about
yeah,
like,
definitely.
Like on a notary standpoint, because I mean, the whole note, like you almost wonder about notaries. Like you know, maybe that needs to be like
notary is another one because we have some crazy things happening in Australia. yeah, so literally they're having people going on holidays and the house is being sold from under them. Like yeah, from overseas countries, can't remember what country it is. They call up, arrange for a real estate agent. Then that agent would bring people into the house and they'll tour them and then they'll sell the house. But what happens in Australia, it's based on the database, the registry they have, whatever exists at that time in good faith. So let's say the people bought the house in good faith, then what happens is the house is theirs. So those people come back and there's other people living in their house. And all they've done to step that up is to do 100-point verification with passports and things like that. So it's not really doing anything, it's just adding more regulation. But if you could have something like notarize on a blockchain where everyone can clearly see, well, obviously this house doesn't belong to who you said it belongs to, because clearly written here, it belongs to another party.
Right.
That would just stop all that, an outdated system that clearly doesn't work.
Right. I mean, it's interesting like that people will post certain legal documents in the paper.
Just to make sure.
I mean, that's such a...
It's just a good idea.
It's a good idea, but it's like, it's kind of inefficient. Like, what if like all of us needed to do that? Like, are we all going to just like...
There's going to be a paper just like for papers, contracts. Like, contracts paper out today.
Papers, like,
I'm on page 110.
it just
for intellectual property, this is what blockchain technology does. It cuts through that method. The poor man's method was to... whatever idea you came up with, put down a piece of paper, fold it up, date it, post it back to yourself, or register post to your lawyer. Don't open it until you get to court.
Right.
And how dated is that? So.
And I actually was at an IP panel of intellectual property, and they actually said that to some degree that's actually not even true. Like, so there's other elements. Yeah, so like that's actually, yeah, like the guy just made a comment. He was involved in licensing. That was his specialty. And he was like, honestly,
this is not going to work.
It's not going to hold up. Yeah, because someone that's more savvy could probably...
do the same thing.
Yeah, or out navigate.
That's the thing. Like, it's just if the event's going to say, like, well, you know, what happens in the post office? Who knows? Like, when was that dated? Who knows?
Right,
there's
so
many errors that it's not even. There's no way it's provable up until right now.
So, what excites you about this technology? I mean, we've talked about some really cool use cases, but I always like to kind of take it like, sort of high level. Like, what is the? I mean, is it the applications? Is it the social change? Is it the opportunity for people that are unbanked? I mean,
I think it's everything, really. Seeing all the changes, like at every single level, like, you know, as you said, unbanked, that's for me, it's really amazing. But for me personally, I think it's just seeing how the world is trying to characterize it from a legal perspective, because right now policies are being made left, right, and center. They don't even know what they're talking about. And for that to be fixed and have everything in place and have adoption flowing from that, everyone educated flowing from that as well, that I think will be the core of the change that we need to see.
Okay.
Because nothing's going to happen. People are still going to be uneducated in this area because governments are wavering. They're not sure. The people are not sure. People are getting put behind bars. People are getting stuff closed down. Like, no one wants to go near it. But until there's a clear stance at a policy level, which clearly says, this is money, you can do this with it. This is not money, we do not accept it. Whatever it is that they choose. And if it's in the policy, that's great. And I think that would really set the tone moving forward. And if other countries are in consensus, then same thing with the internet. Like, when it first came out, I still remember the days. And I was like, well, I don't see the point of that.
Yeah.
And then now every single day, it's a part of my life. We're using it.
Very
it's
true.
Just seeing it become, you know, clear at a policy level would really set the tone, I think.
Gotcha.
And which
so
is why that's what
seamless.
Yes. Which is that's why I got into it, was I saw there's so many issues wrong with this. How are, like, you know, the top bodies in Australia not even seeing this clearly? Which is why I was like, I think change needs to be made, it needs to be looked into, and it has to happen.
So it sounds like if you could wave a magic wand, you would want to see maybe some policy
shifts.
What
yes.
else would you want to see if you could change anything in the industry?
I think education is the biggest one right now. If we could wipe that off the table, have everyone in the street know about it, have it in their minds, Bitcoin, blockchain is this, and then go from there.
Right.
Then you would see adoption, you would see amazing stuff happening. You would see, I know heaps of guys in tech who ask me what I do, but they're not even Bitcoin or blockchain. They're like, oh, yeah, I think I heard about it, but they don't have much interest.
They're
programmers.
Yeah.
And I was like, how is this normal, okay for you?
People are very siloed in tech, because you also have a lot of old school tech people that are like almost like jaded or something. So like, they may not have updated some of the new tools,
love
like
to see
the cloud,
them.
For example. Maybe they're like, oh, cloud, man. But it's like, honestly, but it's
I would love to see this whole, you know, the from the young to the old, all just jumping in and seeing what could really be done. Because right now I work with a team that the youngest is 18, the oldest is 53, and it's just amazing to see what happens between everyone.
That's awesome. No, that's really cool ideas to think about. Well, yeah, so what are some, then we need to hear a little more about your companies. What are some resources people can look into to learn more about compliance, or like, I don't know if you do any blogging or you got Twitter, but you know, how can people learn more?
I don't
about
do much blogging.
That's cool. No, that's fine.
Compliance, it really just depends what area.
Yes.
Compliance is just really what area you're in. So we're quite specific in that way. So we look at what needs to be, we go to the businesses to look at what needs to be done and work from there. Regards to.
And you work globally with companies anywhere?
We have quite a few of us. We work. Asia, Australia, Hong Kong.
Also the US?
Not so much US yet. We've looked at a few places, but pretty much just wherever.
That's a lot of new information to probably pour through.
It is.
Each state, and then, of course, the federal stuff, so it's quite a lot. I'm sure.
Yeah.
You have to be ready for that.
Very, very ready, yeah.
But, okay, so... So yeah, I mean, are there any other like places you go would recommend people go to like learn more about like compliance or sort of that concept?
I'm trying to think of off the top of my head.
No, it's fine.
Bitcoin stuff in Australia, definitely read all the reports that come out from the Senate. That some of them may not be easiest to find, but they give you a lot of insight as to what the parliaments are deliberating and what submissions have been made. So there's been a Senate report that's just released, and that one's quite useful as well for people who are speculating and they want to actually get the definition changed to money. So it'll be a matter of time. It will happen over next year is what I think. But what's really interesting when you read those documents, you see where people stand in it, and then you see what's being done in other industries. So for example, clearinghouses, what type of technology they have and what they're thinking about whether or not to use the blockchain. So I think these type of resources give quite a good insight. So definitely have a look at the parliamentary submissions. And it sometimes might be really boring, but just reading the script or what they say, you get a fair bit of idea of what's actually going on.
I mean, that's a real conversation, right? So it's like pretty...
And seeing some of the questions that's asked, some people probably laugh at it, but sometimes some of the people really don't know what they're talking about. Other times that they clearly know what they're talking about and they're asking the right questions. So it's actually quite interesting. It's a bit of a read, but it's good to get a bit inside to see what's happening.
Very cool. That's actually really good ideas. I mean, that could apply to really anyone in
any respective
country or state. Read your local government sort of advice, like with the there could be FinCEN, there could be, like you said, even just
the best
news
just
headlines
to,
sometimes.
The best is just to get get subscribed to all of them, so that way if any sort of new policy comes out, you're on top of it, because each of these departments, sometimes they're all very separate. Australia, they're quite good normally, they kind of link you all in, but for America, I wouldn't even know. There's so many states, so many levels, it must be crazy.
Oh yeah, big time.
So being subscribed to these is quite helpful.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's why I think people, you know, obviously plugging your company and people like yourself doing your kind of work, get an expert to help you.
Definitely. It will save you so much more money and stress in the long run.
It could be intellectual property. It could be just getting shut down if you do the wrong things. There's so many, it's hard to say, like, it's the whole prevention is, whatever the quote is, an ounce of prevention is a pound of cure or whatever. But so tell us about this, is it YouProve, you said?
YouProve, yes. Yeah. So it's written with a U, but it's just pronounced YouProve.
Right.
So it's pretty much an app, and I could demonstrate it for you if you like.
Yeah, totally.
So what it is, it's just an app on your iPhone, and as you can see, it's very simple design. Even if you pick this up and you know how to use it, it's so easy.
We should take a selfie of us doing this live.
All right, no worries.
And that could be an actual timestamp of us actually doing this.
It can be.
Yeah, and I can.
All right, you want to take it?
Yeah, I can hold it over here so we can get the mic. Awesome. Do you just press the screen or the button?
Press the button.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's try. I'll just get the mic. That's fine. Okay, awesome.
It's all good?
Yeah. Perfect.
All right. So what I'm doing now, use photo.
So we just took that live. That's what's kind of cool about this. It's like a part of the
use photo. So now it's all processed, and there's a public key right here. So you press a fingerprint button, and that will take you to the block trail, and you can see what's happening live as it goes.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this what you actually presented on at the...
At the startup pitch.
Oh, cool.
We came third.
Oh, good for you. Congrats.
No, but there was some good competition there. Very interesting things going on. So right now you can see... It's going through. It'll take a bit of time, I think. But it's pretty much instant. So it's definitely on there.
And we'll have some screenshots of this and so other people can see what we're talking about here.
Yeah. So what I'm doing now, so this is a really cool feature. You press the up button here and it actually uploads it to storage. So our servers are located in Switzerland. And so obviously for privacy reasons, we don't store anything ourselves.
Right.
The only copy is on your phone. If you choose to upload to a server, then on the server's phone. So that's really good if you're doing something live and you're afraid someone might take your phone or whatever. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. It would be uploaded as long as you have the key and the link. The key actually gets sent to you. So let's have a look at my email. And you'll be able to see right now that YouProve certificate, image, protect some file key and then my private key, but don't share.
Right, exactly.
So then I've got a copy instantly and this all happens in the background. You don't even need to worry about it. And the eye is like private or invisible. So setting this mode to private, what happens is no one else can see it.
Okay.
When you take it off, everyone can see it.
Okay.
So it's just up to you. And so what we're going to do now is something really cool. So you can share the file. We'll go with access link. And let's go put it on Twitter. So what's your Twitter handle?
It's Healing Vibes, at Healing Vibes.
All right. So we'll paste the link and at, I'll let you type it in.
Nice.
Yep. And let's tweet this.
Nice. I'll retweet it.
So we see there there's a link. So there's a YouProof link for verification. So it's loading up now. And all you need to do is there's an access code here, and then we need to type in the CAPTCHA. So it says, what is David's name? Obviously, that's David.
Nice.
Verify. And now you see. Yay, there's our selfie. So there's a file checksum, time received by server, easy ID. Now, this is an important one. The easy ID is just a quick reference. You can send it to friends or whatever. They can jump in to the website, type it in, there we'll see the photo. And there's premium, so it gets processed immediately, and the media type is live. That's also very important. So we'll blow up this photo a little bit. So if you see down the bottom of the photo, so it's got the water at the top, and down the bottom, there's a link here. So our easy ID link, for anyone out there who wants to see, is A4, capital T, capital Z, little S, and that's in green. So when it's in green, it means we took this live at this point, at this geolocation, at this time. So 16 December, 2015, 21:15 for the timestamp, like down to the second as well.
That's craziness.
Yeah.
And you can download the file.
We can download the file, yep. Unless if I take it out, then at any point I decide I hate that photo myself. No.
No, if I downloaded that, would it still have that watermark of the
Yes, because that proves it.
Neat.
But you can take it off if you want.
Right, right.
But for utmost verification purposes, you probably want it on there.
And that's what happens within the app itself.
Yeah, no, totally. There's other things we can do. We can record an audio if you like. We can record a video. Should we try some?
Sure.
All right.
Then we can take a picture of the podcast that's happening right here.
So I'll let you give it a shot.
So this is the fabulous Cherie, and she's telling us about, this is recording, Audacity, this is me, she's hanging out, asking some cool questions, the cards. So we're actually trialing the app. We turned the podcast into a video. It's kind of fun.
All right. So use video. We're happy with that. Saving video on device.
So essentially, you're creating that timestamp on this media using the blockchain.
Yes.
Now is it using Bitcoin's blockchain?
Yes.
Okay.
So this one takes a little bit longer because it's a video, so we'll let it run for a little while. So yeah, so you can do video, you can do audio, and there's so many use cases about this. So Cointelegraph has just published some use cases as well. Mm. And obviously they said, you know, for corrupt reasons, like corrupt cops, I think that's quite a thing in America, isn't it? See, quite a lot of that on YouTube.
Exactly.
So this would be a perfect one to verify that this is not being tampered with video. So journalism uses this quite a lot there as well. So again, we've got the public key. We can upload it.
Even with
I haven't done a video yet, so this is very exciting for me too.
So you're like
my first time.
So like, you did Ledger Assets actually create this app?
Yes,
or
Ledger Assets.
Like from scratch, you like designed it?
Yep, they've done it all themselves. Brilliant bunch of guys.
Oh, cool. And they actually knew the programming side too.
Yes. So I'm obviously not.
No, yeah.
They built it themselves. So the two founders, Govert and John, so their background is actually in coding, programming as well. They've also done investment banking between them. John's more in property, finance, and you know, they've worked for many, many years. Mm. So this for them is like something really new.
This is
and
like a passion project.
Yes, their passion
like
project that they're finally doing.
A lot of the people I've talked to are like that in the space, which is kind of awesome because
it's amazing.
It keeps, I think that's what keeps it going in these early stages where
definitely
it's kind of like uncertain and it can get difficult, right?
Yeah. And then we've got other people in our team as well. So the link here. All right. So the video link is capital K5FT and then a capital R. So that one, I will do the same and put the access.
Tweet it out.
Yep. Tweet it out for the people at home.
You need to retweet the other one, you do.
Go for it. Oh, there we are. See your retweet.
Amazing.
All right. So now see. Now the really cool thing about the video is you can also download that video if I leave it up there for you to share. So just jump in online, type in the verification, same deal. So Capaccio again. So we're doing Emily this time as a Capaccio.
Do you have a Twitter handle for YouProve?
Yes, we do. At YouProve, pretty much, is
perfect.
It?
Perfect.
Yeah, so now we see the video. So it's all up there. And if you go on your computer, you can try it on at home later. You can download the video yourself and keep it. So provided I keep the sharing
you
link
keep
on.
Keep the access to it, but you control the access.
Yes, at any time, I can just pull it off the server and it's done. We can do it right now, just for fun. Just for giggles. So it comes up, remove. Straight away, removing file. Done. It's off.
Nice. And if you were to re-upload it, would it create a new hash?
Nope. It always keeps that same ID because it needs to verify that time and date.
Oh.
So I'll put it back up for the viewers at home.
Okay, awesome. Nice.
So what do you think?
I think that's really, really cool. I'm actually just tweeting it right now. Live tweeting.
Seems so fun to do all these live demos.
Exactly. I was like, wait a minute, this is cool. I almost wish this was like video, because then we could just...
Yeah, you should video.
Exactly. Well, actually, we did
a mini video for your podcast.
We did a video in the middle of the podcast, which was kind of awesome. Okay, now I need to retweet this other one.
Go for it.
How do we get in touch with you? You can plug both these companies.
So Ledger Assets, YouProve for all the blockchain stuff. For my consulting, that's just Certus C. My own one's at The Mystery. Sorry, random.
That is random.
Yes. So you can get in touch with us in all these places.
Now, is this actually on the blockchain, or is it the hash that's on the blockchain that is connected with the piece of media? See, we're all starting to get it. Everyone's getting it now. So now we're waiting for that moment where this becomes like a legal basis in some case, and that's what your big PR moment. I hope.
Oh,
that
would be amazing.
PR, like, article about, like, landmark, like piece of, you know, like document, like upheld by court. And it's gonna be good when that happens. But well, cool. Was there any other thing, final thoughts you had that you wanted everyone to consider?
No, not really.
That's pretty much it. Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
Everything.
This was
no
really
worries.
Cool. I
thank
sucked
you.
Into the app. For sure. That was a lot of fun. So, we'll definitely.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's look forward to following your growth, and hopefully Ledger Assets comes up with even more cool stuff. So.
Yeah, they will definitely. We've got lots installed, so you'll be very surprised.
Awesome. Excited to learn.